Now, as we've heard, every year human strains of the flu go circulating around the world, and as they do so, they subtly change their appearance. So this means we need to update the vaccines so that we make the immune system still able to recognise them. So how do scientists know what to put into these new vaccines and when to make those changes? Derek Smith advises the World Health Organization on this very topic. He's based at the Zoology Department at the University of Cambridge.
It's really a remarkable global effort orchestrated by the World Health Organization to do this. There are thousands of people around the world in GP offices and in hospitals who see people who come in with respiratory diseases that look like they could be flu. Take a throat swab, and that swab is sent to the National Influenza Center in that country. The strains there are analyzed to see if they really are flu, and if they are, they're sent to one of five international WHO collaborating centers. Tokyo, one in Melbourne, Australia, Beijing, China, Atlanta in the US, and in the UK in London at the Crick Institute. There, the strains are analyzed in a great detail in terms of how they differ from other viruses and how our immune systems will see them different.
Now, when you say you're analyzing them, what are you looking for? How do you tell one strain of flu apart from another?
This is the key question. First of all, it is laboratory work to test whether or not strains of flu that are already in the vaccine will be protective against the new strains of flu that may be emerging across the world.
I see. So I send you, let's say, a sample of flu that I got from Joe Bloggs, and you're asking, does the vaccine produce antibodies in someone I give it to that if they met that virus tomorrow, it would stop it?
That's exactly right. And as well as this happening locally in over 130 countries worldwide, these five international centers coordinate this and do all the laboratory work and then collaborate with our laboratory here at the University of Cambridge, where we also look at them with mathematical and computational methods to track the evolution of these viruses for the purpose of keeping that vaccine strain updated.
On a practical level, how do you actually do those experiments to know if the vaccine is going to defend me against that particular strain I got from Joe Bloggs last week? Is that somebody physically with a test tube and some virus and some cells growing these things and proving, yes, the immune response will stop Chris Smith from catching this virus?
That's absolutely right. It's 20,000 viruses a year tested in exactly that way to see whether or not those strains are going to protect Chris Smith this year.
So it's quite a lot of guesswork then, because you're getting samples that are doing the rounds now, but this is going to inform the vaccines you're going to make, you know, into the future.
Yeah, this is absolutely the key thing. And in some ways, it's absolutely not guesswork, because this is a very well-oiled machine and a comprehensive surveillance and very good analyses. But the point that you raise, the virus has 6 to 8 months to go do its own thing in that intervening time and may evolve such that the strain that's in the vaccine is no longer a perfect match. The four major types of flu that circulate, there's a strain of flu for each of those in the vaccine. And when there is one of these mismatches, it's typically just for one of those types of flu. That one component of the vaccine, that one fourth of the vaccine protecting against one fourth of the strains that are circulating, doesn't do as well as we would all like it to do, and people are not as well protected against getting infected. Even in those cases, they are protected against the other three strains of flu, main strains that circulate. They're also typically protected against severe disease from that other strain. They may still get a cold or something that feels more like a cold. They're less likely to die or end up in hospital.
Can you use, say, maths or other techniques to try and anticipate what the next move might be on the part of the virus, perhaps informed by what's happened in the past, to make your guesswork odds a bit better?
Absolutely. And this is a research program that we have been doing for something like 15 years now to see if we can understand what are the deep evolutionary processes that are going on. What are the constraints, or are there constraints on how the virus might evolve? And it turns out that there are constraints to the extent that we think that we can predict this, and there is a new generation of flu vaccines that are being produced where the strain that's in the vaccine is not the best representative of the strain that's circulating in February, but is actually an educated guess of what's going to circulate the following year. These are vaccines that will enter clinical trials in about 2 years from now.
It's a bit like when you're driving down the motorway. You should always look at the car, not directly in front, but the one in front of the car in front, because you see the brake lights go on that one before the car in front of you is going to brake. And so it gives you advance warning. You're sort of saying, well, if I look at what the virus is doing now, and then I second guess where it's going to be later, I'll get a much more accurate picture.
This is exactly what's happening. And for me, it's a really beautiful integration of basic science, evolutionary biology, and fantastic surveillance, because the other thing that we have when we drive down the motorway is we have the experience of doing this before. And because there is this great surveillance over so many years, one can go back and do retrospective studies to imagine that it is 1989 and then see if we can predict what happens in 1990, in 1991, 92, and know whether or not the methods are working or not.